I want to welcome everyone who is watching online, watching live or on catch up on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube or podcast. Let's give a round of applause to our online congregation. So many who can't make it in on any particular day will try and catch up online. Good to have you with us, guys. One of my earliest memories, I was probably three, certainly when I was four, I remember one day deciding I was my dad. And I decided to put on his shoes, and I put on his jacket, and I told my sister to put on my mother's shoes and her jacket. And for hours, we would play Mammy and Daddy. Did anyone else ever play that game when they were small?
Yeah.
Loads of you going, no, nothing like that from my house. We were just praying when we were three and four all the time. It's a bit funny, and you can, you know, see stuff online of children trying to walk in their parents' shoes and falling over and all that. But I do think that there is something in it when we have an aspiration to be bigger than who we are. It's almost like in our DNA. We want to be stronger. We want to be better than who we are. We are only on the third Sunday of the new year. This coming Monday is known as Blue Monday, when a lot of people hit rock bottom, emotionally, mentally, financially, and so on, because it's midwinter and all the bills are hitting and all of that. But this is a place of hope, and this is a place of joy. And we want to be better than who we are, because we want to be more like Jesus. Would anyone say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So best foot forward this morning. I'm going to be talking from scripture, but let me introduce you to someone that I grew up with, not literally. This is a guy called Padraig Pearse. He was an Irish revolutionary. He was executed in the 1916 rising, but as a child growing up, in school, we had a big photograph of him on the wall of the classroom. He was down by the front door of the school. Both my father's parents and my mother's parents, in each of those homes, there was a big photograph of Padraig Pearse. Even in the corner shop nearby where I grew up, the owner had a big photograph of Padraig Pearse. We grew up to see him as a hero. I remember people saying he died for Ireland. He actually had a weird theology. He called it the blood sacrifice. He compared himself to Jesus and that his blood would need to be shed for Ireland. There was only one person who needed to shed blood, and his name is Jesus. Who'll say amen?
Amen?
And I am a proud Irish man in that sense. But anyway, he was all over the place. But it was only when I was about 11 or 12, I asked someone, I think it was the teacher, and I said, why are all his photographs just on one side of his face? And I was told, and I discovered, that because he had a deformity in his other eye, he didn't want anyone to see that side of his face. So all you could see is the good side. Have you got a good side? Some honest ladies here, do any of the men have a good side? Do you know, before you came here, you probably washed your face. Well, I hope you did. The way we are at home when we wake up is going to look a little different to the way we are when we come out, when we go to work, when we meet people, when we come to church. If you're the same person in your face in bed as when you come out, you probably need to learn how to wash your face. Praise God. So we have a good side and a bad side, but I want to talk about that and about best foot forward. So Padraig Pearse didn't allow anyone to see, and there is no photograph of him with his deformed eye. However, years later, a guy called Moshe Dayan, who was a famous military general in Israel, he lost his eye in a war, and he turned the negative into a positive, because he began to wear an eye patch. He lost an eye, and that became his trademark, his branding, his symbol. Every time people saw him, they saw, you fought a battle and you won. You may have lost an eye, but you're okay with that. No, he didn't want to lose an eye. But he became one of the most admired people in the late 60s, early 70s. And he went everywhere and he just wore that eye patch. It became symbolic. It became huge. And it still carried on generations later. Oh, sorry. How did she get up there? This is, who's this? Madonna. Okay, it's okay. It's okay to know celebrities. This is Madonna, and she was even inspired by him, but I'd say her motivation wasn't exactly fantastic. So she had to put her little silver X on her iPad. She didn't lose an eye. It was just a gimmick. The thing is, though, I believe God wants us to be real. Would you say that's true? He doesn't want us to pretend to be someone we're not. If you look at the building we're in here, this is the back of our building. You may not have seen this part. It's clean, it's functional, but it's not exactly where you'd have a party right underneath that, or you wouldn't be kind of promoting the back of the building. All the pipes are there, the air conditioning units and so on. However, it doesn't look as good as the front of the building. This is what's known in the trade as a shop front. And this is the front of our building, and that's where we have put more money and we look after it a bit more than we do the back, because this is the front, this is our window to the world. In fact, so much so, when this street was being opened about a year and a half ago, the Irish government poured tens of millions of euro into McCurtain Street. Big wide footpaths, resurfaced the street, street furniture, new lighting and all of that. Our Taoiseach at the time, and he's about to be the Taoiseach again apparently next week, our Prime Minister, they wanted to hold an official ceremony on the street. Now, we're the same age and I know him, he's from the same part of Tony, and he rang me up. See, what's the best building for us to have our speech on McCurtain Street? I don't know. Well, I suppose there's the Metropole Hotel. Or Isaac's is lovely. Or the Everyman. But Micheál Martin said to me, but where's the blessing of God? Well, I said, it's with us. So he said, okay, we'll use the front of your building. Hey! Hallelujah! So, the face we give to the world, the person that other people see, is usually a slightly better side of us. That's how human beings are. But I want to encourage you, as we face into the new year, that what happens in your life and in my life that nobody sees is just as important. And before you're starting to feel condemned, because I can remember once going to a church and God, I felt more depressed going out than what I did going in. But I remember the preacher there kept on preaching condemnation, constant. And I remember him saying, God is watching you and he's going to catch you, whatever you're doing secretly. I want to turn that on its head. And I want to say, when you do good secretly, when nobody sees what you do, when you're praying and nobody is around, when you're doing good and showing kindness to people, when you're not saying something that you could say in order to be a good Christian, God is watching and he's pleased with you. Hallelujah. And that's what I want to look at today when we look at our best foot forward. I'm going to be looking at 1 Samuel 17. This is the famous account in the Bible of David and Goliath. Now, I've met loads of people who have no faith, they're not Christians, but they've heard of this account in the Bible. David and Goliath is a famous story, and it's all set back, would you believe, in Gaza. May God give a ceasefire today to that war between Gaza and Israel. But you know, there's nothing new under the sun. There has been war there for thousands of years. And way back then, thousands of years, way before Jesus Christ, there was war there between the Philistines and the Israelites. And a young teenage boy was sent by his father to go to the battlefield to bring food for his older brothers. There's a stalemate in the war because there's a big guy called Goliath, known as a giant. Some people dismiss it and say that's a fairy tale, Jack and the Beanstalk stuff. No, it means he was a really tall, muscly, big man. He was an animal of a man, probably about 7 foot tall, really muscly and heavy, and a great fighter. So when you hear giant, don't dismiss it like it's a fairy tale. This is history. This happened. This is real. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So, We meet David, he's a teenager, and only a teenager, but he has a heart after God's heart. And later on, he ends up and becomes the king of Israel. He wasn't born to a king, he was born to just an ordinary family. But he's sent here, so he comes and he visits the battlefield. And he comes and he sees and he hears that this battle that's going on is at a stalemate. Nobody knows which way it's going to go. And he hears this guy, Goliath, mocking God, mocking the army of the Lord, standing against what God is for. And remember, the Philistines were quite an evil culture. They had no problem sacrificing their children so that they'd have a good harvest. They would burn their babies alive to the god of Molech so they'd have a good harvest. So not a nice bunch of people. The culture was evil. And David visits the battlefield and he hears this guy Goliath taunting the armies of the Lord. And if you look, you can read the story yourself in 1 Samuel 17. The first thing David says is, someone should fight Goliath. Now, I worked with a guy years ago, and he was always saying, someone needs to clean that. Someone needs to do that. It was always someone. And anytime he would say it, he would look at me. And I'd go, gosh, I don't know who we could get to do that. So he never said, I'll do it. He always wanted someone else to do it. That wasn't David. That's really nice music. Great, thank you. So David says, someone should fight Goliath. He wasn't just trying to pass it on to someone else. What was he doing? He was only a young teenager. He wasn't in the army. He wasn't going to presume to jump in because he knew there was a whole load of mature men well able to fight, but none of them were fighting. So he begins with that, but then a few verses later, we read David going, these guys are all afraid. They're not going to fight. They don't have the faith. So he said, I will fight Goliath. And if you continue reading on, he says, I will kill Goliath. So this is the journey he goes through when he finds himself in a situation where he is facing a giant. And I want you to think of your own life. And perhaps you've got a giant. We then read that King Saul, who is a natural, how will I put it? He's a carnal man. He doesn't look at life spiritually. It's always just what he sees before his eyes. He looks at everything naturally. He doesn't see anything spiritually. So he sees this skinny teenager and he says, no, you're the wrong age. You're the wrong size. You don't have the experience. No, no, no. I have met people all through the years, personally, and I've seen them in politics and business, where they say no, no, no. And you know what? If God is for you, who can be against you? If someone is saying no, no, no to you, you really have to challenge it and go, has God said yes? Because if God says yes, if Jesus says yes, no man or woman can say no to you. He is the God who opens the door that nobody can close. Here and now, and I know this prophetically, there are people here, and you know God has said to you yes. But right now you're facing an obstacle because a human being is saying no. I want to pray for you right now. Because I know this is your year of freedom. This is your year of that door opening. But we're not called to be jelly baby Christians. We're called to have a bit of faith. So if you know God has said yes to you, and this is in your soul, but right now you've got a closed door, or you've got a man or a woman saying no, would you lift up your hand? That's you, just here and now. Okay, I see hands all up. Could you just stand where you are? I'm not going to call you up. I want to pray. Just stand where you are as you face your new year. Praise God. Just stand. That's it. We're going to pray that whatever man says, whatever woman says, if God says yes, if God says yes, his word outlasts any human being. Are we ready to pray? If you're near someone, can you just point a hand towards someone? Just show a bit of solidarity with them. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I speak into your life and I pray into your life. If God says yes to you and man says no, I pray in Jesus' name, you would close the mouth of the man, close the mouth of the woman. And I pray your will would be made perfect this new year into the lives represented here. We pray yes into your future. We'll say amen.
Amen.
And we pray the door will open and that Saul, the man or the woman who looks at your life naturally, will be closed down, as it were. And the will of God will come to pass in your life in Jesus' name. And God's people said,
amen.
Give them a round of applause. That took a bit of courage to stand up. Respect to you, brothers and sisters. So we've got the young teenager. He has faith. He sees what's happening. But all the adults in the place don't see it. And they're guided by this king who only sees things in the natural. What does David say when King Saul says no? He talks about something that happened when no one was looking. He talks about the other side of Padraig Pearse's face. He talks about the back of the building rather than the front. David gave testimony to something. And he said to King Saul, I have killed both the lion and the bear while shepherding my father's sheep. This Philistine, Goliath, who dares to mock the Lord, is just like them. He wasn't saying a human being was an animal. He was saying the enemy that is facing me with everyone watching is really the enemy. It's the same strength that I had to fight on my own. So David, the teenage boy, is in the hills of Judea. There is no audience. There are no onlookers. And bears and lions come to steal and attack the sheep. And David killed them. You might go, bears in Israel? Well, on the screen, if you're listening on podcasts, we have a photograph of a bear on the screen. This is known as the Syrian brown bear. Still to be found in parts of Syria, Lebanon, Israel, and Jordan. So David faced a formidable enemy. This bear, it's not as big as a husky or a grizzly bear in Alaska, but one slap of that bear's paw will see you and me dead. And yet David, the skinny little teenage boy, killed the bear and killed a lion. Brothers and sisters, and it happened when no one was looking. I bet you this, I promise you this, every man and woman in this hall, everyone could give testimony to a time when it seemed like they would lose, but they won because they had the faith to pray into it. And when no one was watching, they had victory in their personal lives. The back of the building, the other side of the face. Nobody was looking, but God was looking. He's watching. And when you go on your knees to pray, or when you go against your nature and you go, I need to read God's word, or you show kindness to someone, or you do any of these things that nobody really sees, or you know you could say something that is truthful, but it would destroy the other person, and you say nothing, God is watching. He sees your good works. Who'll say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So David killed the bear and the lion. Nobody was watching, but God was watching. So when David's father, Jesse was his name, sent him into the battlefield to give food for his brothers, this was all part of God's plan. God had brought David to that situation. Brothers and sisters, the Lord had been preparing David to face Goliath all his life. I promise you this. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. God is preparing you. God is preparing me. And when you face difficulties and no one sees the victories in your life, God is watching. God sees them. So the Lord had been preparing David for Goliath all his life. But David never knew. I bet you don't know. I bet you there's times I don't know. Something is achieved in your private personal life, and we don't realize the blessing it is, because God is preparing all of us. And he's preparing all of us to do wonderful things, because there is no unemployment in the kingdom of God. Do you agree?
Yes.
There is no need for anyone to say, I'm useless in the kingdom of God. God uses every one of his children. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I love what the New Testament in Luke 16 says. The one who is faithful in the little things will be faithful in the big things.
Amen.
You show kindness to someone, or you fall on your knees to pray, or you skip a meal or a day's meals to fast, and no one knows, God knows. And you're faithful in those little things, God will make you faithful in the big things, because he knows he can trust you. He sees your heart. Thing is, David only knew, when he faced the giant. He had a eureka moment. He had a revelation. When he was face to face with this giant, then he knew. Brothers and sisters, the trials you face privately, when your heart was broken, when you thought you'd lose your mind, when you thought, I will never get out of this, I will never recover from this attack, this anxiety, this depression, this inability to pay my bills, this loneliness, will I ever get out of it? And you get out of it, God was watching, and God was using it, and God will use it for his glory.
Amen.
You are stronger than what you were beforehand. Before David saw the bear and the lion, do you think this teenage boy looked at the bear and the lion and said, no problem? I'd say he was bricking it. I'd say he was terrified. What human being wouldn't? I'd say when he went up the first time and the second time and the third time, I reckon young David didn't know whether he'd live through it. I mean, can you imagine sending a 15-year-old boy up to that job today? We'd have health and safety onto us. I'd say Childline would put the father and mother in prison. But back then, there was none of that. You had to grow up fast, and they did. And so David was being prepared, like you are being prepared, like you may very well see in this new year of 2025, that something that happened in your past, something that happened maybe last year, God has been preparing you to bless others.
Amen.
To bless your family. To bless the other believers. And so David never knew it, but when he saw that giant, brothers and sisters, I prophesy, some of us are going to see a giant this year. And I don't know your giant. Maybe you don't know my giant. But when we face him, we'll remember we were faithful in the little things. We prayed. Maybe we fasted. Maybe we showed kindness. Maybe we spent extra time in the Word. But God prepared us for this moment. And by killing the giant, we're bringing liberty to others. It's not just all about us. It's about the blessing you give to others when you are faithful. I love how David came towards the conclusion of this conversation. And he declared this. It's incredible. He declared it before he went to kill him. Such was his faith. It wasn't a cocky confidence. It was faith. This is what he said to Saul. All will see here today. There is a God in Israel. All will see this year. There is a God in Ireland. Can I get a hallelujah?
Yeah.
There is a God in Ireland. Your God, who you love, does miracles. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He heals the sick.
Yes.
He heals the broken minds and the broken hearts. Hallelujah. He is a God of miracles. We had kids running up here at the 10 o'clock family service, singing and dancing and reading scripture, and I never forget it. All the doctors said to the parents, no, you will never have children. But both the mother and the father had a deep faith, and they said, man may say no, but God says yes. And it was miraculous, because those children should never have been born. But when God says yes, no man can say no.
Amen.
hang on a while. He was a consultant. God bless him. But if God says yes, no man can say no. Hallelujah. All we'll see here today, there is a God in Israel. The Lord does not save with sword or spear for the battle. Because your battle, because your challenge, because your difficulty doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. So when this teenage boy walked onto the battlefield, he knew he wasn't walking in his own strength. God forbid any of us walk into 2025 relying on our own strength. I tell you this, I've lived a while. Every time I've relied on my own strength, I fell flat on my face. But when I surrendered it to God, and I would always pray, I'd say, Lord, I commit and I submit this challenge to you. I want to do your will you go before me? Every time I bring God into it, God sees me through. But when I go in my own confidence, I never get through it. The battle belongs to the Lord. And he will give the giant. And David doesn't say into my hands, he says into our hands. Every time you win a victory, you're blessing the people of God. Because your faith is stronger. And you know what? It's contagious. People talk about viruses being contagious. I tell you this, the joy of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, the miracles of God are contagious. I want to be around people who are life-giving. Don't you? Because I get enough of the other side when I'm out in the world, but when I'm in church, I want people to just know and believe and declare, God is for me, not against me. So many people will tell you there is no God. And don't be silly, but we know there is a God in Ireland today. And he is fighting our battles, brothers and sisters. Let me quote one more scripture here. God made you one of a kind. This is the New Living Translation. He made you one of a kind. He wants you and he wants me to be real because you are God's masterpiece. So what happens privately in your life, don't hide your light under a bushel. Let your light shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine,
I'm gonna let it shine.
Hey! This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I should have sung it higher! What can I say? The motto of our church is real people, real church. Doesn't mean we're special, we're far from special from other churches or other Christians. We wouldn't have that kind of an ego. But we've always had the vision from the day we planted this church that we need to be real and not hide and just show one side of our face. We need to go, I've got a deformed eye. Or I lost an eye in a battle and I've got an eye patch. And you know what? That's okay. Because God was with me. And I could be dead and I could have two eyes in my rotting corpse. But God fought with me. So it's okay to have a battle scar. Sisters, brothers, it's okay. Because God fought with you. You are God's masterpiece. So as I come towards a conclusion, I know it's running a bit late. I'm asking you a question. What giant are you facing? What giant am I facing? Do you know the biggest killer in Ireland, they reckon? People will say heart disease, cancer. Actually, they reckon the biggest killer is loneliness. A lot of people are really lonely. And it's impacting their physical health, but it begins somewhere else. Maybe your giant is relationship. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's a memory that is haunting you. Maybe it's financial. I don't know. I could keep going through things. I do know this. Face the giant with faith. Because the God I know is enabling you and me to fight the good fight. Because when we step into that battle this year, the battle isn't yours. It's not mine. It's the Lord's. Hallelujah. Amen. So brothers and sisters, have you got a catapult? Because I want to pray today that God will give you a catapult. You don't need the mighty spear and the sword. You know what Saul, the natural, fleshly king, tried to do to David? No, I suppose he meant well. He said, David, put on my armor. You know, all the metal armor. And David put on Saul's armor, and he couldn't even walk with it. Brothers and sisters, we don't need Saul's armor to fight the battle God has us to fight. We just need faith, and God will give us the catapult. You don't need loads of degrees to fight a battle. You don't need to have a beautiful face. You don't need to be a great sports player. You don't need to be a millionaire. You just need to be a child of God and know that God is with you and reach out by faith and take the catapult. Do you know what I wanted to do today? I wanted to buy about 800 catapults to give them out to everyone. But the cost was prohibitive. So what we're going to do is we're going to receive them by faith. I want to pray that whatever giant you're facing this year, that you take the catapult God gives you. That we learn from David, ever before he was famous or king, that we kill the bear and the lion in our private lives, and that when we're faced with the big public thing, we'll be ready. Are you up for that prayer? Do you think that's a good prayer for the new year?
Yes.
Could you stand, brothers and sisters? We're going to sing a song. We sang it earlier called Guardian. We're going to pray that God will give you the catapult. If you know you've got to fight a giant, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come forward in a moment. If you don't know God or you've drifted from him, I'm going to give you an opportunity to connect with him as well. But let's just sing this song. Let's stir our faith as the Bible asks us to do. Guardian, Ben.
In your love and grace, my guardian, all my hopes and fears are in your hand, I'm in your hand. Where you go, I go, show me the way, every step I take.
Amen. But they're only the promises of God. He will work all things together for good. For who? For those who love him. So I want to give an opportunity. If you've never had God in your heart, in this intimate way we're talking about, you can do it right now. He's only a prayer away. I promise you, this is not about me. It's not about anyone. It's about you and Jesus Christ, who died for you. So you can call out to the Lord to be your leader, your savior, and your friend. Or maybe you've drifted from the Lord. Maybe you did this years ago, and your heart grew lukewarm, and you want to come back to God. So I'm going to give you an opportunity in total privacy to invite the Lord into your life for the first time or afresh. We're going to ask everyone on stage and off stage to close their eyes. And all I can see are shadows here, because I have lights in my eyes, but I can see hands going up. And so with every eye closed, if you want to invite the Lord into your life, or if you want to come back to God and be restored, would you slip up your hand in total privacy? Just own it. Okay, see your hand and yours and yours. See yours down the back. See yours over here and yours and yours. Okay, is there anyone else? You're facing a whole year. Don't face it without God. Okay, thank you. I think we've 8 people. Praise God. Going to ask us all to repeat this prayer, but particularly those 8 people. But let's say it in solidarity together. Be up for that?
Yes.
Okay, praise God. Let's do it. Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
I surrender.
I surrender.
I wave the white flag.
Come into my life.
Be my leader.
Be my savior.
Be my best friend.
Forgive me my sins.
Wash me clean.
I want to follow you
all the days of my life.
I pray this
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Will we give these guys a round of applause? God bless you guys. Love to talk to you later. We have Bibles and leaflets we'd love to give you. If you see myself or Michael or Dara afterwards, we'd love to pass them on. I want to do a regular prayer now, one more prayer, and that is for those of us who know we're facing a giant, and we want to pray, God, give me the catapult. Because David had a type of catapult with stones in it, and what he did was he caught it, he flung it, and he threw it at Goliath, and it hit him right here in the temple at the side of his head where there's no bone, and it killed him instantly. So he didn't need armor, he didn't need a sword, he didn't need a javelin or a spear, he just needed God. So I'm going to pray for those of us who want that catapult in our hand to face the giant this year. If that's your prayer, would you lift up your hand to the Lord? Lift it up to the Lord, that's okay, I see all your hands. My hand is up as well, praise God. We're going to sing Guardian, but I'm going to invite you to come up to the top. We want to pray the Holy Spirit into this for the new year. So please leave your seat and come forward as we sing Guardian, and then I'm going to pray. Ben.
King of love and grace, my guardian, all my hopes and fears are in your hand.
There's some room in here if you want to come in here. Don't be out in the nether regions. Praise God. My first question is, do you know the giant you're facing? Do we have a fair idea? Okay, we close our eyes and we lift our hands, but put that giant in the palm of your hands and hand it over to the living God. Remember, the battle belongs to the Lord. Not to me, not to you. The giant could be a person, it could be a mental health issue, a physical issue, financial, work, I don't know, but God knows. So we give this battle to the Lord. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Father, we are weak, but you are strong.
Yes.
And so, Lord, we hand over the battle and we say, I'm not able. Now I'm going to ask you to say those three words, I'm not able, at the count of three. But I want you to do it and say it out loud. Don't be whispering it, say it out loud. You gotta own it for the year. God won't fight your battles until you determine that you're not gonna fight them. Because every time we go in the flesh, we fall flat. So we gotta say, I'm not able. So at the count of three, I want you to say, I'm not able. One, two, three.
I'm not able.
That's really good. How about we do it a little bit louder? Let's shout it to the devil, because he doesn't want to hear those words. One, two, three.
I'm not able.
Hallelujah, Lord. You hear our voices and you see our hearts. We are not able. And so we hand over control and we declare the battle belongs to the Lord. So God, we lay down our swords. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We lay down our javelins. Amen.
Amen.
We lay down our spears. Amen.
Amen.
And God, would you put the catapult in our hands? It may look nothing in the natural, but in the spiritual realm, this is powerful because it is symbolic of our weakness, but our great faith in the God who was and is to come. So I pray a catapult into your hand. May you know victory in 2025. All of the Lord would say to you, and will the Lord would say to you. Let your self-image improve this year. Because you don't think you're able to fight the battles ahead. And the heart of the Father would say to you, that's true, but I'm fighting them for you. And so the Lord would say, that ancient enemy that has plagued you for years, that every now and again raises its head, 2025 is a year of jubilee in your lives. He will never raise his head again, because the Lord your God will give you the ability to cut him down dead this year, and you will know the freedom that only comes from a miraculous working of the power of your God in your lives. So I commit this family to you, O God, and I pray 2025 would indeed be a year of jubilee. I prophesy it into their lives, and we declare, God, put the catapult into their hands in Jesus' mighty name. And God's people said,
amen.
There is someone here, and you are praying about, I don't know, is it a brother or a sister, but there is an issue there, or there's something there. It is something to do with the giant you're facing. Can I ask everyone to close their eyes? If that's you, could you put up your hand? I just need to know. Okay. Praise God. Okay. Okay. I think we've three people. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I pray into your brother or sister's lives. And I pray, God, would you do a miracle right now? It is just going on 1 o'clock on this Sunday, the 19th of January. And I pray into your sibling, may God do a miracle. Change their heart, heal their body, whatever the prayer is, Lord. That giant, we declare to the giant, your days are numbered. Jesus is fighting the battle for us. And he goes before my two brothers and my sisters for the new year. In Jesus' name, and God's people said.
Amen.
I have one more prayer. And this might seem a word. This might seem like nothing, but it's huge. I literally saw an invoice in red. A bill that somebody can't pay. And I know God is going to provide for you. Can I ask people to close your eyes again? Not going to have anyone do it publicly. But if that's you, in total privacy, can you just slip up your hand and then take it down again? It's a bill, an invoice, okay, okay, okay. I think we've got 3-4 people. We're going to pray. Could I ask everyone to raise their hands? Down there, up here. We stand in solidarity with our brothers and sisters, and we pray to the God who is known as Yahweh Jireh. God who provides. Our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I pray, Lord, just as the coin was found by Peter in the mouth of the fish, that you would do something miraculous into each of these homes so that the finances would be provided for my brothers and sisters to pay what they need to pay. Oh God, we put the catapult into their hands that comes from you, and we pray the giant of financial trouble would be slain dead in the coming weeks. And we pray it in Jesus' name. And one more time, God's people said,
amen.
Praise God. We're going to sing Guardian before we close as we go back to our seats. Just stay with us one more minute before we officially close. Let's sing it as an anthem for the new year and the new week. Ben.
Your God.
my God, our great defender, strong in love, forever faithful. We are yours and we will trust in you.
Sign language, when deaf people are talking to one another, one of the things they do is they cross both arms in front of them above protection. So I'm going to just ask you, God is our guardian. Just do this in front of your chest. Just cross your arms. As an outward symbol, God, we pray we'd know your protection this coming week. And I pray that into every life that is praying now, not just by day, but by night. And that you would really be our guardian. And any time the enemy tries to attack, he would come one way, but he'll flee from us in seven different directions.
Amen.
So may the guardian of the Bible, the God who was and is to come, protect you and the people you love this week in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.